Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 102. We are here with ALS Foundation. But before I get into it, we are coming to you a little bit later in the evening because we were over with Keep It Wild Co. down in Sedona. We were cleaning up the Slide Rock area. We had so much fun. It is so beautiful this time of year. And we wanted to help out in just whatever way we could. We wanted to do that. We also want to shout out our friends over at the Pierce Family Foundation. They had a little event going on at the Ben Avery Shooting Center. Hopefully that went well. Applaud to you guys. They will be our next week's episode. And so for those of you listening, we are Finding Arizona Podcast. I'm your host, Jose. You can always reach us at FindingArizonaPodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach us at our social media at Finding Arizona Podcast under Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Finding Arizona Podcast, and make it easy for you to reach us. Also, thank you to everyone who's been just very, very pleasantly wanting to be on the show. I try my very best to get back to all of you, and thank you for being all so patient. So what we're going to be doing is finishing out the next couple of months with themes, and then in 2018, we're going to jump right back into a free-for-all of letting anyone and everyone come in. I have come to the conclusion that there are so many people just like really wanting to share their story, and there's so many unique different backgrounds. Like, there's no way that we could easily get everyone to kind of like get comfortable with like being in a group of, you know, it's a little bit harder because we have to schedule everyone into a particular month. So it gets a little bit cumbersome. I just feel whoever's ready to go, let's do this. I'm game. I want everyone. We had just as a side note, we had someone email us about rattlesnakes, and I am totally down for rattlesnakes. I am down for pretty much anything. So for those of you who are listening, come one, come all to this very great podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Let me jump back into who we have here today. And just a big shout out to Amber and Alex who came on the episode. You guys were very fantastic. I learned a lot about the foundation, learning a lot about actually ALS in my local state. I didn't even know that there was a local chapter. I thought you guys were all just one big foundation. So it's nice to know that each individual state does their best to really help the families that they can reach out to. And it means a lot to me to kind of put this on the pedestal because this is something that is just very important for everyone to listen to and know and have knowledge of, because there are real people with this disease, and this disease has no vacancies on who it picks for this, because it doesn't care about any kind of orientation or anything of background or political, anything and everything. It does not care. Disease just chooses people, and at the end of the day, I think knowing the knowledge that we were giving in this episode, it helps a lot, because it just means that you are able to know someone, if you know someone, or if you know someone who has it, or if you're affected by it in any sort of way, we want this information to be out there for you to be able to listen to and understand that the individuals a part of this foundation and a part of this chapter are individuals who are striving to really make a difference and really put themselves out there for you, the family who is affected by this horrendous diagnosis. And so thank you everyone for listening. I hope that you guys like this one, because it means a lot. This one's really, I gotta admit, I got really emotional doing a lot of these foundations, because nonprofits, all they are doing is doing good work, and they're really nice people, and a lot of them just want to help, and a lot of them just, you know, a lot of them do it from years and years, knowing that they probably are going to have a lot of tough years and a lot of hard times, but they do it out of the heart and knowledge of knowing that they're doing the goodness of the world. So thank you all of you who are going to be in the future episodes, in the previous episodes, and everyone who's just came along and shared their story. So thank you very much. I won't hold back anymore. Let's jump straight into the podcast, episode number 102. Thank you for listening to the Finding Arizona Podcast. Let's go. Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jose. We are always doing something new and interesting, and we always want to bring in as many possible groups and interesting groups as we can. So for this month's theme, we have nonprofits, and this was a sought-out one worked through Brittany. And I want to just say thank you to Brittany for making this more possible and headed. This is was I think your first attempt at like me just like, okay, you take the scheduling on this. So thank you very much. Yeah. So I want to let you guys introduce yourselves.
All right. My name is Amber Montanez, and I work for the ALS Association in Phoenix. I'm the care services coordinator, so I take care of the patients and families here in the greater Phoenix area.
Okay.
Yeah. And my name's Alex Wadsworth. I'm the development assistant for the ALS Association, so I work primarily in events and fundraising. We have two gala events we do every year and two big walks we do every year, so awesome. I'm hands-on with those, yeah.
So first off, let's get the elephant out of the room right now. Break down what ALS is and what it stands for.
Sure. So ALS stands for amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or mm-hmm. other people might know of it as Lou Gehrig's disease, mm-hmm. The famous baseball player. So ALS is referred to as like a motor neuron disease. So it affects all the motor neurons in your body, which controls all of your muscles in your body. So eventually all of those motor neurons will die, mm-hmm. Meaning that those muscles won't be able to work anymore.
Yeah.
And so that eventually will lead to a person's death. So that's kind of what we deal with. We take care of all the patients and the families and try to bring awareness to this disease mm-hmm. and try to help the families through it. There is no cure.
Yes, that was the next question. Yeah. There is no cure.
Yeah, so there is no mm-hmm. cure. So we just try to help the families and provide support and mm-hmm. Raise that awareness in the community.
Yeah, so once a family becomes a part of your organization, that kind of becomes a lifetime person that you guys are going to be seeing for quite some time. So I want to ask you two both kind of psychologically, what does that mean for each of you?
That's a great question. I know for me, dealing directly with the patients and seeing them and getting into their homes and kind of walking through this with them from kind of day one. We may end up seeing them through the very end of this and may, you know, depending on how involved they want to be, we kind mm-hmm. of let them choose. We yeah. don't force our services on anybody, but we let them know that we're always here for them. So we can get to grow pretty close with some of these families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are definitely some that are closer than others and some people that we see a lot, but for me, it's really all about like providing that hope for families. I'm not a doctor, so I mm-hmm. don't have that cure, but I can do this and I can provide them with these very real services that they need day in and day out. And so for mm-hmm. me, it's more about just providing the families with that hope and that support in the middle of it. I can't cure it. There are very brilliant people working on that, but I can't. Do that, but what I can do is provide the
absolutely. And are we allowed to ask the kind of services those might be, like what you know, explain to us kind of the process a little bit in the beginning. How might one, you know, start off by making a phone call and then setting up a meeting, that sort of thing?
Sure. So we might actually see them in a few different ways. They might get to us in different routes, but the majority of our patients we get through a doctor's office, whether that's their primary care physician or a neurologist that refers them to us. So we get them in a lot of different ways, but that's the primary way that we find them. Mm-hmm. And then they can choose to be involved with us or not if they want to.
Yeah.
But then a lot of our services that we provide are we offer home visits, so we can go into their home and really kind of provide that emotional support there for them. We also do a lot of free equipment. We have a loan closet that we have for families, so nice. It can get pretty expensive if they needed to buy all of their equipment, from power chair, like power wheelchairs,
like
ramps and things that they're gonna need throughout their prognosis and throughout their diagnosis. So we have free equipment, so they don't have to buy that if they don't want to.
Yeah.
We have a kids and teens program and as well, so we can kind of touch in with some of those kids that may be in the home or those grandkids, and grab them as well and get them involved with that program.
Yeah.
We have a transportation program, so we can get them to their doctor's appointments and things. We have some respite funds available to provide the caregivers with a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of our fundraising and all of our activities that we do and lots of different ways for them to get involved. And then our support groups. So we have support groups that happen each month as well that the patients and caregivers and anybody can come to, any family members, anything like that. So we have lots of different events going on all throughout the month, but that's all the different ways that they can choose to get involved in different levels.
So for yourselves, how much are you guys, like, I imagine you guys not only working here but participate in a lot of the activities, you know, are you guys required or anything? I want to make sure that, like, you know, this is, you guys are doing something really great from the start. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you guys, I know that you guys work hard, but like, to add an additional, like, participating with these families that, you know, are going through this, you know, how much do you guys choose to participate in these events?
Really, whenever I can. I mean, obviously, like, the galas and the walks I'm present at, but we have things like, we do an awareness night at the Diamondbacks. We've got kickoffs for our walks. We have Social Connections, which is a program where we invite, you know, patients and we get them doing activities. Like, I think next month they're going to the Odyssey Aquarium, which is awesome.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. Yeah.
Any opportunity I can to, like, connect with these, with our patients and our families, I take that.
Absolutely.
You know, come from all walks of life, and, you know, I learn a lot from them, and it's, you know, it's a great relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for yourselves, I want to get to know you guys too individually. You know, what are your guys' backgrounds? How did you end up here at the organization?
Yeah, so I know for me, I got my degree in social work. I went to ASU, and
The Sun Devils. There you go.
Exactly, Sun Devils all the way.
Oh, finally, we always end up with U of A Wildcats, and for once in the room, it's 3-1.
Yeah, yep.
Yes, totally. She's not even Wildcat. She's just a fan of the Wildcats. She moved here from California. They said you have to choose. She chose the wrong team.
Oh man,
you just lost half your listeners.
Well, maybe we'll convert her. So my degree's in social work, and I ended up starting working with kids. And so I have a huge love for our kids and teens program, and I try to get involved in that program as much as possible.
Okay.
I love kids and teens. And so that's where I started working originally. And then I actually met Amy, who is my boss here. I met her at my last job. And so when she left, she kind of brought me with her. And so we've kind of stayed connected through that. And that's kind of how I brought me to here. But I've never had, before working here, I've never had any sort of connection with ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. I didn't know anybody with it. I didn't even do Ice Bucket. Like, I wasn't even, I didn't know what it was before I started working here. So
Was your introduction, like, them telling you about?
Yeah, so she told me about it. Like, when she asked me to come and work for her, I was like, I'll work for you, but I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm working. So it was a lot of, like, education. I needed to really learn about this disease before I could really truly feel comfortable working one-on-one with these families and these patients through this. But, I mean, they did a great job of educating me, and they didn't turn me away just because of that. So, and I've been here for almost a year and a half now, and it's been probably one of my favorite jobs ever.
Congratulations.
So, yeah,
too.
It's been really fun to be here. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I started a week after Amber did.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And this
best
is my
buddies over here.
And this is my first job out of college, and so my background was in public service and public policy, and I did a minor in nonprofits. And one of the classes that I was taking, Taryn, our executive director, came to present, and so that's how I learned. And like Amber, I have known about Lou Gehrig's disease, but not really the particulars. And as I was hearing Taryn talk about the disease and like what the association does, I was like, that's something I want to help with. I want to get involved, and so I followed up with her. And she, I have a background in events. I did an internship with events. And so she was like, we have a place for you if you want to join us.
Nice.
So that's how I ended up here. And it's been
look
great.
At you two.
Yeah,
just just a bunch of go-getters.
Yeah, totally.
And it's really great that it's Sun Devils that are I can be very applauding totally. to you both.
Totally.
So let's go into a little bit of kind of what does your kind of day-to-day with the organization and with the families look like. You know, explain to us how you guys end up, you know, if you have to meet them or, you know, pick them up, whatever it may be. What is your kind of day in and day out through this, through working here?
So our day-to-days look completely different. So that's kind of the nice part about us both being here is like my day-to-day dealing with patients, I'm on the phone with them. I may be answering phone calls from the patients or the families. I may be answering emails. A lot of my job is spent on the phone or in emails with families and patients. And then we also do go to their doctor's appointments and their clinics with them. They a lot of our patients get involved in what's called an ALS clinic. And so it's like a certified clinic that services ALS patients. And there's three of them throughout the valley here in Arizona.
Okay.
And they're their primary place to get services for them. So they'll meet with like a neurologist as well as a lot of other disciplines like physical therapy and other people who will kind of help them through their prognosis and kind of give them some suggestions for the next few months. And so we go to those doctor's appointments with them to kind of follow up with them. So I attend at least one of those a week. And so I'm going to doctor's appointments with them and then maybe some home visits in between. And I'm usually not here in the office. I'm usually out driving around or
well, I appreciate visiting. You sitting here for as long as we got you
of
for.
Of course, totally. So yeah, there are some days where I'm here all day, but most of the time I'm out in the community doing something with a family or with a patient or at a doctor's appointment or something like that. So,
Got it.
So I'm out and about a lot, but with families pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out and about some, but definitely not as much as Amber, more towards event season. I'm out, you know, making sure.
You got the good time of the year when there's shade and it's nice and cool outside.
Yeah.
So the prime time at months.
I'm hanging out inside. But I deal a lot with family and also friends who are like, we want to get involved. We want to fundraise. You know, we want to do something to support our loved one. And so that's, you know, I'm on the phone or emailing them, letting them know about the walk, letting them know about Bite Night, our gala event. And then, you know, the other half of my job, the events. So, you know, I'm making sure we've got, you know, permits and things like that and venues. And so...
I've always had a you event planners. Kudos to you guys because it's like herding cats.
I don't know how they do it. I don't know. I literally don't know how she does it.
I can't. Yeah, I don't know because we've done some with the women who put on Junk in the Trunk and like those flea markets.
Yeah.
They're kudos to whoever puts on an event because I cannot keep that kind of organization going for that long. So. Anytime I see a big event or any kind of event like that size, it's just always kudos to that person who put that together.
It definitely keeps me on my toes, but I love it. And seeing the end result, like on walk day. Walk day is amazing. At Scottsdale, our walk, we have over 4,500 people come out. And just seeing the community and how much support, you know, our patients have behind them, you know, not just from their friends and families, but, you know, local businesses and things like that and just seeing it all come together and everyone's having a great time and we're out raising awareness.
That's so good.
It totally worth it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you guys, what are some of like the stories that you remember, like you're gonna remember forever? Because I can imagine there's quite a few that I mean come through these doors day in and day out, but there's got to be those one special ones that you're gonna remember forever.
I mean, I have quite a few. Just dealing with patients one-on-one all the time is, you know, you get to know their family. And you're not just knowing the patient. You get to know their loved ones and their caregivers, their kids, their grandkids. Like, you get to know the whole family.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it does touch a special part of you when you get invited to, I mean, it's sad, but when you get invited to a funeral or, you know, to walk through that process with families or to see the families come back even after that person may have passed away, the families still want to get involved, the families still want to come back and volunteer, and they still want to be here because they believe in what we do every day, and they they want to help support more families. And so I've got quite a few families that I still stay in touch with, even though their loved one may have passed on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, seeing those kids stay involved in the kids program and seeing them still get excited about our events is really what, you know, keeps me coming back every day for more. So
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you get to see them more at the celebration time of unity and, mm-hmm. and just kind of that remembrance. Yeah. And you get to enjoy that kind of big community aspect. Yeah. I can imagine there's got to be some stories for yourself. I mean, because you are the one who actually hones it all together, for you, you know, do you feel like each one event is your baby, or, you know, that sort of thing?
I do. And even though, you know, we do the walks year after year, mm-hmm. the galas year after year, we have what's called Afternoon of Hope, which is like our end of year award ceremony. It's the same principle, but each one is completely different.
Oh, I bet.
It's like you're experiencing it every single time that you do it, and just the reaction you get. Afternoon of Hope in particular is a really great event. It's usually smaller, you know, we're honoring our volunteers and our patients mm-hmm. and our advocates, and it's a really close group of people, and getting to acknowledge, you know, everything mm-hmm. they've done for us.
Absolutely.
It's a really special time. That's probably what stands out to most of me. Our Afternoon of Hope. Yeah.
That's gotta be something that, like, everyone's in tears and just kinda like
is. It's a tearjerker for sure, but it's fun from the patient side, from my side of things. Yeah. I normally am not so focused on events, but it's fun to finally be like, hey, let's go to party together.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
We've done all this hard work and we've cried and we've had some tough moments and mm-hmm. we've had some hard days and we've had to talk about wheelchairs and things that maybe aren't so delightful to talk about. Yeah. So now, you know what? Let's go have fun and
inject,
let's bring all your friends
it.
And your family and like let's get everybody together and let's all go have some fun. And so it's
absolutely.
Cool from my side of things to see all the work that the events team does. And I don't know how they do it every day, but it's fun to go and be like, let's go celebrate now.
Absolutely.
And let's go have a party together. And so that part of it is fun to see all of their friends and family. And mm-hmm. we do a holiday party every year, like kind of at the end of the year in December. And last year we went roller skating. We took
fun.
People roller skating.
That's awesome.
And they got to come out in their wheelchairs.
Sure.
And like,
oh,
it was so fun to like see all of the kids and the grandkids and like everybody just come and hang out on the roller skating rink, you know, like things they wouldn't think they could do, but like we got
absolutely.
To grab them and bring them out together and have a big party.
Sure.
It's fun to do that.
I can imagine like, that kind of moments of difficulty, or it just goes right out the door when you see the enjoyment of each family member.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Give us some statistics on the prognosis again, because you know, from the way you guys make it sound like before even coming to this organization, you guys didn't even know that many families or people that had the disease. Explain to us kind of like, you know, is it something you can catch early? Some of the, percentages, who gets it more often? Just so that, because right now I feel like I don't know anyone in with that kind of disease. So I want to understand it more a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's some statistics. There's still a lot that we don't know about mm-hmm. this disease, but right now there's probably, I don't know, we've got in Arizona, there's about like all of Arizona. So we cover the whole state. We don't just cover the greater area. We cover Tucson and we cover like northern Arizona. So everywhere in Arizona is covered. So I'd say in the whole state, we've probably got about roughly 450 people diagnosed.
Okay.
And the majority of them are in the greater Phoenix area. So I'd say almost close to 350 probably.
Yeah.
And then the other 100 are kind of spread out throughout the rest of the state.
Okay.
Veterans are twice as likely to actually get diagnosed with ALS. Not really sure exactly why that is, but there is a lot of support through the VA, through the local Phoenix VA here. So if they are a veteran and they get diagnosed, there's a lot of help there. They can obviously tap into us too, but the VA is a great resource for them. They have agreed that it's somehow service connected, but there's a lot of research still going on to figure out why.
Okay.
Or what that connection really is. From the date of diagnosis or the time of diagnosis, it's typically about 2 to 5 years lifespan from there. So Obviously, that can go a lot faster or that can go a lot slower. We've got some patients who've been diagnosed for more than 5 years and some that go faster than 2 years. So it just kind of depends on the rate and speed of progression.
Yeah.
It's not something you can catch. Like, it's not something that, you know, you can get just walking down the street. It can be genetic. There's only a small percentage that are genetic. It's only about 10% that are a genetic tie. Okay. And there is some genetic testing that can be done. So if that's something they're concerned about, they can go to their doctor and look into that. But then the majority of them, the other 90%, are pretty random. We don't really know why it picked them or why this time. And we've seen everything from, it doesn't seem to really discriminate whether it's female or male, or generally, this is a general statement, but it's usually between 50 and 80 years old is typically what we see. But we've got some in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and then we've got some in their 90s, and you know, so we see everything. It doesn't really seem to discriminate. We don't have any kids, nobody under the age of 18 being diagnosed, so that part of it at least has stayed pretty consistent.
What's the youngest you've seen?
I think that I know of right now is 26, I believe. 26 years old. That I know is like actively. But I mean, like I said, I've only been here for about a year and a half, so I know probably been other ones, but
And just, you know, in the scope of things, you know, it's really hard to say, you know, we don't have numbers to tell you who's more likely, and that's just really scary sometimes. You know, would you say to someone, like, because there's no way of testing for, well, I guess genetic wise you can, but is there no way to kind of prognose it prior to?
No, so they call it a rule out diagnosis, so that means we have to rule out every other type of motor neuron disease before we can diagnose you with ALS. Obviously they don't want to be wrong. They don't want to give you the wrong diagnosis, but
clearly
there's a lot of other motor neuron diseases, so that can take a lot of time for some families. It can sometimes be very frustrating, but it can also be very liberating once they get that diagnosis and finally feel like they're on the right track. And finally, we feel like we have the right answer. Some people have gone through multiple surgeries, whether that's, you know, we've heard of carpal tunnels, pretty popular surgery. If their hands aren't working, they might think it's a carpal tunnel problem, or your back's not working, so you have like discs that need to be put back into place, or all sorts of different types of surgeries or treatments that other people have tried that just aren't working, that fail time after again, you know, and so they have to rule out a lot of other things before they can actually get the diagnosis. So
that is so rough, and yet you guys are working day in and day out through helping these families, and I can't be any more encouraged that there are people out there in the world like you too. For you guys, what are some things that you know people can do just easily day to day to help you guys out here in this organization?
Well, getting involved with our walk is a really big one. Not just from a fundraising aspect, but from getting awareness out, you know, talking about, yeah, I'm involved with the ALS walk, and it starts a conversation. ALS is, I think it's referred to as an orphan disease, is the right term, where it's rare, and you know, obviously not a whole lot of people know about it, so that's the biggest awareness, and spreading that. And yeah, our walks are coming up, and
that's a big part.
The walks are awesome. They're a lot of fun. There's one in Phoenix and one in Tucson, so no matter where they're at in Arizona, they can get involved, and they're all free, so they're a lot of fun. And
Oh, awesome. That's very cool. Where do you guys do it down in Tucson, and where do you do it here? Like, do you guys pick a different place every time?
Nope, it's usually the same. Well, as long as I've been here, it's been the same in Tucson. It's at Reed Park.
Okay.
So we hosted down there, and then in Scottsdale, or our Phoenix walk, we call it, it's at Scottsdale Stadium.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah.
Are there times for each of you that it gets difficult to be here, or emotional, just over the top? Because I know that you guys are both just... Some part of me says this is a job, and some part of me says that it's got to be so much more than just a job. So for each of you, I mean, how many times did, like, a week do you cry? Like, that's what I'm trying to get to. Like, I guess is what it's
that's
like.
That's the real question.
That's the real question about deep down in all of this. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's a hard one. There, I mean, this job is hard. I mean, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, every day has the potential to be a pull on your heartstrings kind of day. You just really never know what you're walking into each day. But, you know, I will say another top reason as to why I stay here is because of the people I work with.
Mm-hmm.
The culture that we have created here, that Taryn, our executive director, and our other directors here have created, is an environment unlike anything else I've ever seen before. It's so nurturing and so respectful of our emotions, because this is an emotional job.
Yeah.
And we have to have the freedom to express those emotions,
mm-hmm.
But still professionally too. And so there are some days where we cry and it's not fun and it's painful. Mm-hmm. And but then there are also those days where we laugh and we get to share great stories with our families, and they share pictures and they share things from their vacations. And like they, you know, we get to experience some of that with them. And so I wouldn't say we cry every day, maybe not every week. It just kind of depends on the time. But I mean, in regards of like, what's the most difficult time for me, it's probably during the winter.
Yeah.
We run a high risk of a lot of patients run a high risk of pneumonia during the winter. And so that can be a really stressful time for a lot of our patients and a lot of our families. And so, I know it doesn't get freezing cold here, but it's still a scary time for a lot of our families. And so absolutely. For a lot of us, you know, here as care services staff, we're trying to keep them out of the hospital as much as possible, or you know, trying to keep them doing the things they need to do to take care of themselves as best they can.
Yeah,
so winter is probably the hardest time, but then we try to throw parties to make it a little more exciting during that time and not so dreary.
Absolutely. I imagine that between everyone's experience and knowledge about, you know, what the families go through, you guys all work together to make a bond through that kinship and working here. You know, I kind of want to actually ask you guys, like, after work, like, do you guys like hang out, and like, what's the after work life for you guys? Do you guys have other hobbies, or is this kind of a full-time thing, like you guys focus solely on this?
No, Amber and I especially, we hang out all the time.
Yeah,
we used to share an office in the back when I first joined, so we're super close with each other.
Oh, awesome. That's good to hear.
Besties.
We're all friends here. It's not like we're just employees. Like, we all are friends, and we all, you know, we get to know each other pretty closely here at the office. And so you know, sharing in baby showers and birthdays and you know, all those types of celebrations, we, you know, we are a tight-knit group here. And so we do hang out, but we also do, like, for me, I have to leave work at work. Like, I can't, I could easily take my work home with me, and there will always be more work to be done. And so I do unplug on the weekends, and I do go on vacation, and you know, it's hard to leave, but you know, because you're always thinking about what you could be doing for the next family, or who needs that piece of equipment, or you know, trying to prevent somebody from falling, or those kinds of worries are there. But being able to trust my other staff members and knowing that like things won't fall apart while I'm gone, and I can leave and I can unwind, and and they really help foster that environment here. So we do have time to unplug for sure and get away. We have to have that. But and the events are kind of like that too, all the weekend events and stuff. It's, you know, we bring our spouses and get our friends all involved. And so it's a big, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun too.
Good. I, you know, a lot of these organizations, some of them, it gets a little much for me to like understand that nonprofits do all of this like through themselves almost. It's really like you guys are the last front of like helpfulness and joy, and like you guys are honestly, nonprofits are what make me feel like the world isn't gonna go to chaotic world's end sort of thing, because there's still people out there who care. You know, the every organization has a goal. So, you know, for your guys' group and your organization, what are those? And are you guys, do you guys set new ones? You know, are you a single goal oriented organization? Let us know what that is so that people can actually understand and hopefully be able to help a little bit more.
Yes, I would say our main goal is to empower people with ALS and their families.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of our blanketed mission statement, but yeah. Every year we reevaluate. I mean, we're growing like mm-hmm. so much with the programs that we're offering and things like that. So definitely year after year we reevaluate, you know, yeah. Is there a new need in the community? Is there something last mm-hmm. year that maybe we didn't focus on that we needed to focus on for this year? You know, what can we do that makes the biggest impact, or what can we do,
mm-hmm.
Like I said, to empower them and serve their needs?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it has to come down to really our association exists because there's patients out there that mm-hmm. need help and that mm-hmm. they need the support. And so really it's all about the families and it's all about the patients, but then how do we support them whole roundedly as well as the family as well? It's not just about the patient. ALS just doesn't affect the patient. It affects the entire family. And so how do we build those supports properly for the entire family? And we don't do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
We rely so heavily on so many volunteers and so many donors and just all sorts of different support from all different angles, whether that's financial or just that you want to come into the office mm-hmm. and do paperwork. We need every layer of help. So if anybody wants to get involved, all they need to do is just give us a call or email us or reach out. We are willing to, if you want to work on mm-hmm. events, if you want to mm-hmm. be in the office doing paperwork, if you, whatever you
mm-hmm.
find might be your niche, we have lots of different ways that people can get involved. And there may be only like, what, 9 of us, 12 of us? I don't even know how many of us there are that are actually on staff, but we don't do any of it by ourselves. We mm-hmm. rely so heavily on people. So
absolutely.
Whatever layer of support they want to help, we'd be glad to
accept
to accept that help for sure. We need it at every event pretty much. And every, I mean, even on the patient side of things, we need help everywhere. So whatever they want to do, we'd be happy to find a place for them.
Yeah, that's... So. I know, and it's just one of those things that, like, every day there's someone new that keeps coming about, and it's just so hard to kind of, you know, it's hard to say that this is a cycle that will never end, and hopefully one day they will find a cure. And for you guys, do you guys, like, have a motto here? Like, I imagine that, you know, you guys keep in mind, like, general positivity and have a demeanor about yourselves. Is there a motto that you guys like kind of adhere to, or that you guys say to each other, or in your own lives, do you have something that keeps you going?
I know for me, like, cause I talk to the patients, and so for me, I have actually on my bulletin board in front of my phone, I have a little motto that just says, enjoy the little things. Cause that's really all it's about. Every day, whether that's, you know, enjoying the fact that we got to go to the bathroom by ourselves today, or that's, you know, we got to get in the car and we got to go to the doctor's office, whatever those little things are. We got to hug our kids, or whatever those little things are. Mm-hmm. We got to eat a whole meal by ourselves, or those little tiny things that we might take for granted. You know, those are the things that really matter to me, but also matter to these patients, and reminding them that, you know, for a lot of times for the caregivers, it's hard to break away and it's hard to give them time to even just answer the phone or make a phone call is hard because they've got mm-hmm. to care for this person, and they don't want to spend that downtime to answer the phone or call somebody. And so even just acknowledging the fact that they took that step to mm-hmm. take that phone call and reach out for the help or get involved or whatever. So for me, it's just enjoying mm-hmm. the little things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of silly, I say to myself sometimes, but teamwork makes the dream work. And it's just, what can I do today?
Yeah.
To, you know, not just in my development department, but what can I do? Like, if I answer the phone and it's a caregiver and they're upset about something, like, what can I do for them to, you know, figure out what the issue is, calm them down and say, you know, I have a solution. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just things, you know, am I being conscious about furthering our mission during my day, even if it's, you know, if it's not necessarily an events question, but you know, I'm there, I'm like, I'm contacting care services and I'm like just on it, you know, because like she said, you know, it takes like a lot of effort sometimes for them mm-hmm. to pick up the phone, and I want to make sure I'm on my, I'm being my best self every yeah. time, and like, just what can I do today to help?
I, you know, kudos to both of you, because those are really great mottos. You know, I want to, because the reason why I asked is Brittany's motto that I, you know, see her a lot of use is no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. And this is where I want to kick it to Brittany. I know this was something that we kind of had her take the lead on. And is there anything that you want to ask them personally or just, you know, about the organization?
Yeah, you guys are kind of touching on it a second ago, but when I got a chance to be a part of the Bite Night event, I went home and I was showing him the pictures and just telling him and explaining and all of the awesome things that came from it, just seeing the smiling faces, but also like taking home a little bit in my heart, like the feelingness of what was going on. And so I want to know, like, from your guys' perspective, like, what advice can you give to somebody who, like, no matter what they're doing, whether it's, you know, cashiering at a drive-through or social work and changing the world, you know, how can somebody decompress? How can somebody, like, unplug like you do, Amber, and just, like, leave it go and be okay with that? Like, what's some advice you can give to somebody to just release, relax, and just, like, know that tomorrow's another day, not everything can get solved in one night?
Okay, well, I have two things that I, like, heavily rely on. Good. One is don't be afraid to cry. Mm. Because I have to do that. And it's not fun, and I don't like to do that, but don't be afraid to cry. Even if you're a gentleman, mm-hmm. don't be afraid to cry. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's totally normal and totally natural, and sometimes that's the best way to release those emotions, at least for me. That's, I don't do it as often as I probably should, but, you know, it's okay, and I find those safe people, whether that's at home or whether that's, you know, my boss here behind closed doors or whatever that might be, that, you know, finding that safe place and that safe person to cry with. So that's my number one. My second one is find something that you love. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I absolutely love CrossFit and I love working out and doing those things. And so that is my safe haven. And so that is a place that I go to and I run to, like, after work. Mm-hmm. Like, I leave my laptop at work and I have to go work out. And so finding that time and finding that activity that you absolutely love, mm-hmm. whether that's, you know, martial arts or concerts or whatever it might be, music or whatnot, whatever it might be for you, you know, finding that thing that you absolutely love that can draw you away and is strong enough to draw you away from work, because there always will be more work to do. And it's hard. I mean, it's really hard to leave and go on vacation and, you know, or even just leave from day to day and wondering if you should pick up the phone or, oh, yeah, I'll just check my emails really quick and answer a few at night, mm-hmm. and, you know, trying to really just disconnect as much as possible. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I don't know if you have anything else.
That.
But...
Yeah, like you mentioned, concerts are my thing. Yeah. I am, like, the biggest Elton John fan in the entire Ooh. World. Wow. And so, yeah, like, that's my, like, I, you know, I listen to him on the way home, and that's just kind of my way to, like, decompress and, like...
I like that.
A lot, yeah. Like, allowing yourself...
Belt your favorite song. Yeah. Which, yeah. What is it normally? What is the go-to song?
The go-to is I'm Still Standing.
Aww.
That's my go-to.
I wanted to say, do you want to shout out your CrossFit gym?
Sure, it's CrossFit Magna.
There you go.
Off of, like, MPV... Mall area, 32nd Street in Shea, or 32nd Street
shout
in Cactus.
Shout out to CrossFit North Phoenix. We did a podcast with them.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So, awesome.
So there's a bunch of CrossFit gyms that
are
just amazing, and they're really nice.
They're
so
awesome.
I appreciate you guys so much, and what you guys are doing is, I can't even say, like, it's quite amazing. And to go through what you've only been through for, like, 2 years, it's so unquestionably wonderful of you guys to spend that kind of time with those families. And I'm sure that the families love you just as much for doing that.
Yeah. It's cool to see people, like, really, and that's, you know, a big thing is, like, they really see the benefit and the services that we provide. And even though we do reevaluate every year and kind of test mm-hmm. and see what programs people want, they, you know, they're responding well to the ones we have. And so it's mm-hmm. nice to be able to provide that hope and support for them.
Yeah. I often tell people I wish my job didn't exist. Like, mm-hmm. I truly do. But mm-hmm. the fact that I can come and make a difference and connect with families and provide them hope, or just even if it's something as simple as, you know, helping them mm-hmm. set their walk team up, and you know they're appreciative of that, and it just makes me feel like, you know, I did something to help. So
absolutely. Well, guys, we are reaching the end, and typically the end is meant for you guys to promote whatever activities or events and social media where people can find you at. So I'm going to kick it off to you for letting that all roll out at once. So do it like you would do it on the phone.
Oh, goodness. We've got a lot of events coming up. Our biggest one would be Bite Night Tucson, August 26th at the Westin La Paloma. We've still got tickets available. If anyone out there is listening wants to get involved with like sponsorships or donate items for silent auction, we're always looking for stuff like that.
I see the silent auction area right there.
We're getting ready here. So if someone, and they can just, our office number is 602-297-3800. You can ask for me, Alex, and I can work with you on that. And then we've got our walks coming up, both in October. The Tucson walk is October 7th. And then the Scottsdale walk is October 28th, I believe. And again, I hope I'm saying that. Yep. I should know.
The 28th. October 28th. October That's on 28th. The calendar.
Yep. You can go to walktofeetals.org for more information. Or again, you can call me and I can answer all your questions.
We're also on Facebook.
We're also on Facebook. Yeah, search. I think our handle is ALS Arizona.
Okay.
Like 99.9% sure. Or you can just search for the ALS Association Arizona chapter, and we'll be there.
Well, Facebook's a great way to stay connected with all of our, even our patient events and our support groups and things. So if anybody knows somebody or has questions or really wants to get more involved on the patient side of things, Facebook is a great way to also connect with us, or you can feel free to just give the office a call and you can get in touch with us.
Awesome. Yeah. I always love when that happens, that you guys are just so applicable to the phone calls, to any kind of sort of outsource or outreach. Mm-hmm. And it just helps to have knowledge and be able to be open enough to go and seek help. And so again, thank you both for being on here. I appreciate it so much. And I've learned a lot from the both of you, and what you guys are doing here is amazing. And before we go, let me get this out of the way. You can find us at findingarizonapodcast.com. You can also find all our episodes on iTunes and SoundCloud. And if you like what you hear and you want to hear an extra episode, we do have a Patreon page at patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast. Again, me too, you guys. Thank you so much, both of you. So round of applause for Brittany and then for all of you guys.
Thank you guys. Thank you for having us. Yeah, this is absolutely awesome. I've never been on a podcast before.
Me neither.
Well.
Yeah. But I listen to them all the time.
Yeah, there you go. Hopefully you guys will become a fan of our podcast.
I followed you guys.
So. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
But thanks to Brittany. I mean, really, it was because of you and because of you coming to Bite Night. Your pictures were awesome, by the way. But you know, thank you to you for reaching out to us and wanting to stay connected, and we're grateful for this opportunity and that we could be here with you guys.
Yeah, that's all we want to do, is help everyone out, and so
we appreciate it.
Yeah, and with that, we say good night and farewell. Bye.